I love campfires. When I was a kid, particularly, I loved staring at the fire. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Especially when we were out in the woods, you know, there'd start this big fire, and I'd just stare at it. And of course, everybody had adults in their lives telling you, you know, if you play with the fire, you'll pee your pants. No one ever told you. They told me that. And I just want to confess to you, I have peed my pants, but it wasn't because of a fire. You know, different. It was first grade. Can I get a witness? Yeah, that's what I thought. She should have let me go to the bathroom. That's all I'm saying. All right. Now, there's something about a fire that mesmerizes me. I don't know about you, but I love it connects us together. Why is it so many great conversations happen around a campfire? You know, we tell stories. Some people tell ghost stories. And there's something about a fire that just makes us transparent and makes us want to share. Matter of fact, small groups are tonight, and I like to illustrate that small groups for us here at Grace is every small group at our church is centered around a Bible study. And so I like to say that small groups is a conversation. The Word of God is the fire around which we're having a conversation. And so I want to encourage you to be at your small group here tonight, okay? Now, we started a series last week called Ghost Stories, and it's a series about the Holy Spirit. And the big idea of this series is pretty simple, and that's you can have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit than you have right now. How many would agree with that? I can have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit than I have right now. And we made the case last week that a relationship with the Holy Spirit is the biggest game-changing thing in your walk with God. It's a big deal. Now, we talked last week about how the Holy Spirit is a person, right? And that he has given to us to help us. His primary role is to help us, to help us pray, to help us worship, to help us share our faith. And if you missed last week's message, I highly encourage you to check it out at graceassembly.org or on our church app. So today, as we continue to learn about the person of the Holy Spirit, we want to answer this question. What is he like? What is the Holy Spirit like? Now, remember, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing, not an it. And so in this message, we're going to look at what he is like, because I think the Holy Spirit may be one of the most misunderstood persons of the Trinity, right? We understand God the Father a little easier because we have fathers, right, to help us understand. That, matter of fact, that's why God gave us fathers. God the Son, Jesus Christ, we have a comparison, we have a metaphor to understanding Jesus because, you know, we have sons, or we are sons, or we know sons, right? But God the Holy Spirit, what's the metaphor for that? Is there a Holy Spirit in our family? Let's talk about that next Sunday on Mother's Day. I think we're going to see some similarities to the Holy Spirit in moms next week. It's going to be great. But I think God doesn't want us to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit to be a ghost story where everybody gets scared of what's going on. And so God gives us metaphors in Scripture. He gives us some parallels in the natural world to help us understand the supernatural world. And those parallels are in Scripture to help us understand what the Holy Spirit is like. How many are with me so far? And so today, I want to talk about three symbols or metaphors about the Holy Spirit and what he is like so that we can understand his role in our lives and the purpose for which we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, I've got a lot of notes that they just passed out to you, so I'm going to go fairly quickly because at the end of this message, we're going to pray, right? And we're going to ask God to reveal the Holy Spirit to us and for us to experience the power of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so write this down. The first thing that he is like, the Holy Spirit is like fire. The Holy Spirit is like fire. And this is a symbolism throughout the Bible and Scripture, and it begins in Matthew 3. Remember, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I." He's referring to Jesus. And he says, "His sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So John the Baptist equated the Holy Spirit. He says it's like fire. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, the scripture says God is a consuming fire. And remember, Moses experiences God where? At a burning bush. And so one more scripture in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So fire is a very clear symbol of the Holy Spirit. We see that all throughout Scripture. And so what does fire teach us about the Holy Spirit, about his role in our lives? Okay, write this down. Like fire, the Holy Spirit is passionate. Like fire, the Holy Spirit is passionate. How many songs have been written about fire and love? Or fire and passion? I Googled the top 10 songs about fire, and they were all love songs. It's amazing because, and that's one of the purposes of the Spirit is to give us passion. How many have heard the term fired up? You know, you've been to a game, let's get fired up. I married a cheerleader. I should have had you do that, Tracy. I mean, that would have been awesome. Great. Now, when we think of, when she inspired me is what I'm saying, all right? Now, when we think of passion, we think of love or enthusiasm or fervor or eagerness or zeal. And listen, I think the Holy Spirit does that for us. The Holy Spirit is the one that stokes the passion for God, the passion for holiness, the passion for people. Yes, the Holy Spirit gets us fired up. That's what fire does. Fire fires us up. And can I go ahead and say that without a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we have more of a religion than we have a relationship. Without a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we tend to have more of a religion doing things out of duty or obligation than we have a walk with God. Right? And so the Holy Spirit is like fire in that he helps us to have passion in our relationship with God, and he gives us passion for other people. Right? We used to sing the song when I was a kid, and by the way, there's going to be 100 songs that come to my mind and your mind during this message, but we are going to refrain from singing them. Otherwise, this message will last a long time. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. There was a song we sang when I was a kid. It said, the Spirit of the Lord makes me love everybody. And that's what he does. Like fire, he gives us passion. And then like fire, the Holy Spirit is purifying. The Holy Spirit is purifying. Chemists, metallurgists use fire, heat, to purify metals, don't they? And that's the picture that John writes in the book of Revelation. Look at this scripture in Revelation 3:17. He says, "I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire." I think it's important to remember that John was writing to a lukewarm church filled with compromise. And he says, what you need is some fire to burn out the junk from your life, right? Lukewarm Christians need the fire of God to burn out the junk in your life, the worldliness. Now, I want to remind you, and we talked about this last week, that one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit is to help us live holy lives, to live in purity and in righteousness. His fire burns out of us the junk that we don't need if we will let him. The more we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more his fire will purify us, and make us righteous and make us passionate about righteousness, right? Now, like fire, here's another one. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Like fire, the Holy Spirit is powerful. Matter of fact, if you put the word fire and power together, you get fire power, right? So they go together. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit, this fire of God, is intended to give us power to serve Him. Now, part of the power of fire is its ability to shape things. People who make glass heat up the glass and they shape it and mold it into the form that they need or want or that people will buy. People who work with steel and metal, they will heat up that steel and they'll forge it into the shape that they want it to be. Come on, somebody. So part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a fire to shape and mold us into the image of God, into the image of His Son. Now, here at our church, we know a few things about fire. One of the most memorable days of our church happened in January of 1997. Our church was struck by lightning and burned. And because I'm going to say this joke until Jesus comes, we prayed for fire from heaven and got a direct hit. And if you don't laugh better than that, I'm not going to use it anymore in the future. It always works in the Grace 101 class. All the new people love that joke. The rest of you, come on. Nobody wants that to happen. But I'm going to tell you what, it shaped us as a church. It's part of our DNA. We learned some things. Now, one of the things I learned about fire is that it affects everything. When the fire was put out by the fire department, now, by the way, this picture is the more dramatic picture. This is the one that happened a few months later when the fire department used the burned-out building for an exercise to training their cadets. So this is not what it looked like on the night it was struck by lightning, okay? Because some of you are saying, how was anything left? Because after this fire, there was nothing left. But that night, it burned a big part of the building. And so the next day, I was able to go in to the building and just kind of look around. And it was a very surreal experience. I mean, smoke and water, and you see a lot of the building was just destroyed, but there were some parts of the building that the fire didn't get to, but the heat did. And there were blinds that were literally melted off the window. And there was a clock in the sanctuary that it used to be a circle, but then it melted and became this oblong thing. Everything was affected by the fire. God gives us the Holy Spirit in a symbol of fire to affect every part of our lives. He wants to touch every part of our being, our spirit, our soul, and our body, just like fire. Amen? The Holy Spirit is like fire, and that's why we need a relationship with Him to affect every part of us, to shape us into the image of God, to burn away sin or worldliness, and to stoke a passion for the living God among us. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, here's another symbol in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is like rain. The Holy Spirit is like rain. Now, let's take a time out for a second, because this is where some people get confused, because the Holy Spirit is fire and rain, and we sing a lot of songs about that, fire and rain. Now, fire and rain don't go together. Rain puts out fire, right? And so, matter of fact, we sang songs this morning that had all of these in the same song. And people who don't know, they're like, I don't understand. We're praying for fire and rain in the exact same song? But this is an illustration for us to understand that this is a symbol. These are what He is like. The Holy Spirit is not fire. He's like fire. The Holy Spirit is not rain. All right? We're not asking. We definitely don't want the rain coming to the building. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness in the house? It's a lot of rain lately. But we want the effect of the Holy Spirit's rain in our lives. How many understand what I'm saying? So Acts chapter 2, verse 17, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes. I want you to notice what Peter says. He quotes the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament. He says, it will come to pass, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Pour out. Now that imagery, the visual imagery of the Holy Spirit being poured out is what we would associate with water or rain. We say it's pouring outside, or it's getting ready to pour. And I want you to notice that's the visual image that God decided to give when the Spirit of God is given. So how is the Holy Spirit like rain or water? Write this down. First of all, the Holy Spirit like rain is refreshing. The Holy Spirit like rain is refreshing. How many know when you're thirsty, when your mouth is dry, nothing is more refreshing than a cool drink of water? Sometimes we get dry and thirsty in our walk with God. There are times when we're tired. And how many know the Holy Spirit can be like that refreshing water that refreshes our spirit, man? Am I in the right church here today? Look at what Jesus said in John 7, verse 37. He said, Jesus stood and cried out, and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Jesus is equating the Spirit with living water, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So listen, Jesus did not describe the Holy Spirit as a drink of water. He describes the Holy Spirit as a river of living water, which shows us that the Holy Spirit, like rain or water, is life-giving. The Holy Spirit is life-giving. How many know when there's no rain, there's no crops, there's no harvest? Farmers depend on the rain for a good harvest because living things cannot grow without rain. Living things cannot live without water. How many know California has experienced a drought in recent years? Florida is experiencing one right now. And it's devastating. It's affecting you at the grocery store, the price of strawberries and so many other things. Why? Because living things need water to grow. There is no life without rain. No life without rain. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the life of God. The more we have of the Holy Spirit, the deeper our relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more of the life of God we have in our spirit man. Come on, somebody. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and I apologize, I'm going through this kind of quickly because I want to get to the end. He said, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want you to notice that Jesus makes the connection between born of water and spirit. He's talking about the new life, this relationship with God. You got to be born again. He says water and spirit. Jesus is the one that connected the two in the symbols there, that life and water go together. Now, like rain or water, the Holy Spirit is powerful. I mean, you know, water was and still is used to create incredible energy. Years ago, through water wheels or dams, and when you see a river running through a great canyon and you see the power of that water to cut through rock, you recognize water has great power. Listen, God wants us to develop a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we can be refreshed, so that we can be filled with life, and so that we could have great power. All right, I've been rushing to the end because I want to talk about this next one here, that the Holy Spirit is like wind. The Holy Spirit is like wind. Now, in the Bible, matter of fact, we see this in the very beginning of Scripture. The Hebrew term for spirit or spirit of God is ruach, R-U-A-C-H. And it literally means blast of breath or breath of life. We see it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The scripture says the earth was formless and empty and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach, the breath of God, was hovering over the waters. Now, it's the same word used to describe God breathing into the dust and creating the first man. God breathed Ruach into Adam, and the Bible says he became a living being. So the Holy Spirit is literally like a breath of fresh air. In the New Testament, the word for spirit is pneuma. It also means a blast of breath or breath of God. Matter of fact, the study of the Holy Spirit, if you study theology, is called pneumatology. A study of breath. In Acts chapter 2, remember, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says that there was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see these symbols? Now, okay, what does that mean? So if the Holy Spirit is like wind, what does that mean? Well, like wind, the Holy Spirit is unseen. I want you to lean in and pay attention to this one, okay? Because I think this is a word for us here today. You can't see wind, but you can feel it. You can sense its power. You can feel it on your skin. The same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. You can't see him, but you can feel him. You can sense him. Matter of fact, I think that's one of the stories of our church. Over these last 20 years, people along the way, they say, you know, describe what God's done at Grace, and you know, and the good things that God has done. We've seen some blessings at our church, and you know, I'm always happy to tell them that the key is the presence of God. It's the life of God in this place. It's not a theory, it's not a program, it's not this or that or the other. We get hung up in church worlds and in churches and going from fads to things, all right? All that's going to change. It's always going to change. I was talking to a lady in our church, been going to our church for years and years. She says, everything's always changing. That's true. The world's always changing. But can I tell you the one thing that will never change is the life of God. That is what changes us, right? Listen, when people come to Grace, we want them to experience the life of God. We want them to feel the wind of God in their lives. You can't see it, but you can feel it. See, when people come into one of our services, we want them to be immersed in the presence of God. And over the years, so many people have told me when they came for the very first time, Pastor, all I could do was sit there and cry. All I could do was weep. What is that? That's the presence of God. Matter of fact, a few years ago, one of the people who had come for the first time, he said, Pastor, there's something in that room. Yeah. Big, there's something in there. I said, I think it's a someone. Just this past Easter, we had a visitor at our church from out of town, longtime friend of our family, and he said, there is so much of the life of God in this place, and I'm praising God, because that's the goal. That's the heart. We want people to experience the life of God in this place. So how does that happen? I'm glad you ask. You just got to ask. You just got to ask. Jesus said, ask for the Holy Spirit. He'll give it to you. Ask for the presence of God. He'll give it to you. That's called prayer. Free commercial. Every Tuesday morning, we gather here at 6 a.m. to pray. What are we praying about? We're praying about right now. We're praying about this service. We're praying for you. Every Sunday morning at 8:15 a.m. in room 110, we're gathering together to pray. Why? Because I'm not smart enough. Nobody here is clever enough. We got nothing to offer you except the life of God, the wind of the Spirit, the power of God that comes when God shows up in a church and he can do anything. So I assume by your clapping means I'm going to see you on Tuesday. God bless you. It's awesome. Now, you probably experienced this phenomenon yourself. Maybe even without knowing, because perhaps during a worship service, there was a moment where you could just breathe a little deeper. You had a fresh perspective that you didn't have before. There was this hope that was birthed in your spirit. Maybe you were facing a problem that you couldn't understand, and an idea comes to you, and you realize you weren't able to see clearly before, but now you do. What is that? That is the presence of God. Now, here's the problem. Most of us are not comfortable with things that we can feel, but things we can't see. You guys ever been to the Children's Museum? And they have that hole in the wall? It says, stick your hand in there and tell us what you feel. That's uncomfortable. You have no idea what you're going to see, what you're going to feel, right? Now, but think about it. You can't see electricity, but how many know you can feel it? We see its effect in our lives. Listen, Thomas was the same way in the New Testament. Remember, he said, I'm not going to believe Jesus is raised from the dead until I put my hand in his side. I see the scars and I see Jesus. And here's what Jesus said to this. Watch this. John 20, verse 29. He said, Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We don't get to see everything God does. But we need to trust him. That's called faith. Faith, listen closely, by definition, is putting your trust in something you can't yet see. In order for us to deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we need to trust him, to believe him, to have faith in him. Are you with me today? And so, like wind, watch this, the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. Now, if there's one thing true about the wind, is that it's unpredictable. All the weathermen said amen. Right? We have a saying around here in Indiana, if you don't like the weather, stick around. It's going to change. It's unpredictable. Hey, it's May outside. It's supposed to be in the 70s and partly sunny. Is that what we've been experiencing? No. It's Indiana. It's unpredictable. All the golfers said amen. You go to tee up your shot, you're ready to hit your shot, and you're throwing the grass in the wind, which I never does, doesn't help me anyway, but some people do that. And, you know, you get it all set up and the wind changes and moves your shot. Anybody ever play basketball outside in the wind? You know, you got your jump shot down straight, here comes the wind, so you got to adjust, right? And here comes the wind and just throws your shot off. Some basketball players think that wind's in the court on the inside, but that's a whole other story. Now listen, the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit, and if we're honest, that's why some of us are uncomfortable when we talk about the Holy Spirit, or we begin to emphasize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because if we're honest, most of us like God to be in a box. You know, this is my God life. He's this big, and I bring him, I take him out of the box on Sundays, right? And it lasts this long, and this is what it looks like, and I like it that way. This is the neat, tiny religious part of me. We love predictability. That's why people stay in bad relationships. And they stay in bad jobs, dead-end jobs. You know, just because, you know, it may be bad, but at least it's predictable. You know what's coming. Are you getting me today? Now, there's something uncomfortable to us about the fact that the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. Look at what Jesus said in John 3. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit is like the wind. He does whatever he wants. He's like the wind. It blows wherever it pleases, where it goes. When the Holy Spirit is leading your life, it can be an unpredictable journey, an adventure. Now, some of you, that just lights your fire. I like adventure. I like new stuff every day. And then there are some of you, you don't like adventure. You want your life to be just so all the time. And so this part of who the Holy Spirit is messes with you. It makes you a little bit uncomfortable because you like predictability. Now listen, we've got to be careful in the church world because how many know because of our desire to always control things and our desire, we tend to create doctrine around the experiences that are comfortable to us. Now listen closely. How many know God moves in many different ways? And he often does different things. But what happens is, what he did in us is now what he should do for everybody else. Listen closely. You know, what happens is we create doctrines or teachings or traditions about what our experience was or what we grew up seeing or learning, which means those that are on the cutting edge of the move of God today are at the greatest risk of fighting the move of God tomorrow. Because we always want it to look like the way we like it, the way we prefer it. But like wind, he is unpredictable. Because when it doesn't look like we think it should look like, we say, that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. Because it's not God unless we do this. Now listen, be careful. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But what I'm trying to remind you is that we sometimes we actually get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives and in the lives of others because we say God has to do it this way. Amen. You know, if you don't have these five things happening in your services and your services don't look like this, then you're not Pentecostal. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you're probably watering down the gospel. You wear jeans to preach. What is wrong with you? I'm just being transparent with everybody here today. Listen, here's the key. We get all these different camps that are at odds with one another concerning the Holy Spirit. But you need to know that the Holy Spirit wants us to be part of all that he is doing. Regardless of your denomination, regardless of the name of the church on the place where you go to worship. Come on, somebody. Like wind, he is unpredictable. And he wants us to be part of that. Now watch this. Like wind, the Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Wind has been used to create energy for thousands of years, right? To pump water, to mill grain, and to generate electricity. If you drive north of Lafayette on I-65, you're gonna see this windmill farm, and you kind of forget you're in Indiana. You think you're in Europe or something because you have all of these windmills just flowing and flowing. What are they doing? They're using wind to create energy, and I read that one of those windmills can power 500 homes for a year. That's pretty amazing. So wind is very powerful. Matter of fact, just after the fire struck our church building, we had started to rebuild and had framed our new church. A windstorm comes and knocks it all down. We were on the front page of the newspaper all through these years for all the wrong reasons. And one reporter from Channel 6 came to cover it, you know, that the wind knocked the church building down. He says, "Hey, what does God have against you guys anyway?" I said, I think the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us something, is what I said. By definition, the Holy Spirit, listen, wants to be powerful in our lives as well. I'm going to close with this, so watch this. Acts chapter 1, here's the scene. Jesus is ascended from the grave. He's resurrected. He's about to ascend into heaven, and Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized." That word baptized literally means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Now, the disciples were expecting still a literal physical kingdom that the Messiah would bring to the earth. They still thought that the Messiah was going to overthrow the Roman government, and that these scriptures that they had been reading as children in the Old Testament would literally be fulfilled by a physical kingdom on the earth. And so Jesus kept telling them, "Guys, it's a spiritual kingdom. Right, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise from the grave." And so he says, "I'm going to have to die and come back from the dead." But they still weren't getting it. So even here, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to be gone, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come." But see, they all had their minds on what they understood, an intellectual understanding of the kingdom, an intellectual understanding of the gospel. Pay attention, because at the end of the day, I believe we are less comfortable with the concept of power and more comfortable with things we can understand. Let me say that again. At the end of the day, we are less comfortable with power and the power of God and more comfortable with things that we can understand. You know, I think in our culture, we would rather serve a powerless God or a less powerful God that we can wrap our minds around rather than one that we can't completely understand but's full of power. See, here's what the disciples are trying to do. They were waiting for the physical kingdom, saying, "Come on, Jesus, isn't this the time? Can't we go to battle now? Can we go to war now? I mean, we want to kill some people." You know, I know Peter cut off the ear of that servant there in the garden, but Lord, you healed his ear. Why did you do that? That didn't make sense to us. Come on, Jesus, get with our plan. Are you seeing this? Jesus is saying, this is not what we're doing. You don't need to know the times or the seasons. Now, let me pause right there. Sometimes as a church, we can get so caught up in that stuff as well. Jesus is coming back. Yes, Jesus is coming back. We get caught up on stuff and things that we want to argue about and you want to talk about. But I want you to see what Jesus is saying here. The issue is power. You need power. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to give you when he comes. So stop trying to figure out everything and lean into the power of God that he promises through his Holy Spirit. You may have already noticed that the one thing that all of these symbols have in common is power. Fire is powerful. Water is powerful. Wind is powerful. And so we can see that the primary purpose of the person of the Holy Spirit is to give us power. I heard somebody say it this way: without power, Christianity is just another argument. A few years ago, I was on a missions trip to El Salvador. There were almost 100 people from our church and then another church. We had combined together for this massive missions trip in El Salvador. And One of the particular nights, Don Triplett, the director of King's Castle there in El Salvador, let me know that that night I would be preaching under a tent. So they were going to go to this field, they pitched a tent, they're going to worship, and their goal was to plant a church in that part of San Salvador, okay? Now, he tells me, so okay, I'm getting ready to preach that night. All right, great, fine. And he's going to interpret for me, okay? And so on the way there, he informs me, by the way, this field where we pitched this tent, last week, a bunch of people died. There was a gang fight. They all met on this field, and literally, it was a blood fest of violence and death. I'm like, thank you very much for telling me that on the way to this place. And if you know, if you've been to El Salvador, you know that the spiritual atmosphere is, it's just, it's dark. So I'm preaching that night, and you know, Don is interpreting in Spanish, and it felt great. It was awesome. It was an experience. And so this one particular man, during the altar call, comes forward. He's just yelling. He's gibberish. He's swearing. He's cursing. And then right there in front of everybody, he starts manifesting demons. I mean, he's just jerking and twitching and foaming at the mouth and just this voice. It was ugly. Now, how many know he did not need me to re-preach my sermon to him? Right? He didn't, me winning an argument with him didn't matter. That man needed power. Something to take authority over their lives. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happened, because people gathered around that man and they began to pray for him and cast devils out of him. And that man stood up sober. I'm telling you, totally changed. His face had totally changed. His complexion completely changed. What happened? The power of God was demonstrated in that man's life. Listen, the story of our church is not that we have a better argument than anybody else. The story of our church is the power and the presence and the life and the fire and the wind and the rain of God. You see, the testimony of our church is not a building or a program. The testimony of our church is, I was blind, but now I see. My marriage was wrecked, and now we're back together, and I was addicted, and now I'm delivered. That's our testimony. I was dead. I was lost. I was a sinner, and now I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven because of the power of God. Stand with me all over this room here today. This morning, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the fire, the rain, the wind of the Spirit is available to all who would ask. We talked last week, how do we develop a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit? And there was three words: ask, learn, and consecrate. Ask Him, and then learn of Him, and then consecrate yourself. I'm challenging you during this season of focus on the Holy Spirit every day. Just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me. I want more of you than I've had before. I want you to have more of me than you've had before. Would you take that challenge? Because if you will, your life will be different a month from now. All you got to do is ask and then learn. It's so important to learn. Learn what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Be part of this series every Sunday. I'm posting things online. You know, just continue to learn about who the Holy Spirit is, because what that does is that creates faith. And then consecrate. Set yourself apart for the Lord. I've challenged you, fast a meal every week for the specific purpose of just drawing closer to the Holy Spirit. We're asking you to set aside some time on the first weekend of June, Pentecost Sunday. We're going to have a Holy Spirit conference. And what is that about? I'm setting some time apart. I'm consecrating myself to seek God, to encounter God. How many believe that's what we need here today? We live in a culture of information. Everybody's got an argument. Come on, somebody. Now listen, we need to know how to defend the faith. That's why we do worldview training for students, junior Bible quiz. We need to know what we believe and why. Come on, somebody. But at the end of the day, we got to have more than an argument. We need some power. We need something that's different about us. That is the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? I want to challenge you. Would you ask Him just for more? Right where you're standing, we're going to sing this chorus, this simple chorus. And I want you to begin to seek the Lord. The Bible says, in the day that you seek Him with all of your heart, that's the day that you'll find Him. Let's sing this together.
Lord, so come like the wind.
Yes, God.
And come like the rain. And come like the fire. And come like the wind. And come like the rain. And come like the fire.
Today, and you need the power of God in a situation. An argument's not going to work. Words aren't going to change anything. You need the power of God where you live, where you walk, where you play, your family, your relationships. Maybe you're battling something. Maybe the enemy's coming against you. Maybe you can just sense the attack of God or the attack against God in your life. You just see there's this fight. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers. So we need power. If that's you here today, you say, I just need the power of God in my life. I need the power of God in this situation. Maybe it's overcoming a sin or a habit. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're just dry and you just need that refreshing water of the Spirit. Maybe you say, hey, you know what? I just want more of this Holy Spirit that you're talking about, Pastor. I want to go deeper. I want to be stronger. I want to experience this anointing in a greater way than I have right now. I want a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to come and fill these altars right now. Come on. If that's you, come and fill these altars. I want you to take a step of faith toward the Lord and let's pray. Thank you, God. Come on, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Come like the rain.
You need the power of God.
Come
let's pray.
Like the fire. Oh,
yes, God.
Oh, come like the wind.
Yes, God.
Come like the rain.
Come like the wind.
Come like the fire. Come like the fire.
Yes, God.
Rushing wind. Lord, come like the wind.
Press in, press in,
come
press
like
in, press in.
Rain.
Come on.
pastors, elders, prayer team leaders, I want you to begin to move through the crowd. I want you to lay hands on them and let's just agree for more of the power of God. Come on, let's pray. I want you to seek God. Just ask Him. Lord, you said ask and you'll give us more of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's pray together. Let's cry out to the living God. Come like the wind. Come like the rain. Come like the fire. Seek God. Press in, press in, press in. Seek Him this morning for more of His Spirit, more of His power, more of His anointing today. Let's do it together.
There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be.
Let's use these symbols as points of prayer. It's real simple. Let's pray for fire. Lord, we pray that like fire, you would give us passion. Come on, pray this way with me. Lord, like fire, renew my passion. God, give me a love for you and for others that I've never had before. God, remove callousness or any kind of cold-heartedness, oh God, and let there be a renewed passion for the Word of God, for the kingdom of God, and for people. God, purify me like fire. Purify me. Burn out the stuff, the worldliness. God, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be different. So, Holy Spirit, I invite your fire to burn in me, to purify me. And God, I pray for like fire. Would you give me power? Lord, like electricity, God, like a fire in a steam engine, God, would you burn in my spirit and create incredible power? And God, like that water, I'm praying for rivers of living water. Come on, pray. Lord, just like you said, Jesus, you said out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. Let living water come out of me. God, that refreshing, God, that life-giving water, let my life be marked with fruit, with life. Lord, I don't want to be dry. God, I don't want to be a desert. I want to be filled with life in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit to just flow through me in Jesus' name. And God, like water, I want the power of water. I want that power of that rushing stream to flow through me, oh God, and affect everyone around me, I pray. And God, like wind, I pray, Lord God, even though I can't see you, help me trust you. Holy Spirit, even though I don't always know what you're doing, but help me have faith in you, Holy Spirit. Help me to trust you, Holy Spirit. Help me to learn of you, Holy Spirit. Help me to see your effects in my life. And Lord, like wind, let the power of God fill me. Come on, pray that way. Let the power of God fill me. Let the power of God fill my life. Take me. Take me. Lord, just like wind in the sails of a boat, take me forward. Take me to the place you want me to be. Let it be, oh God. And let that wind and that rain and that fire, God, let it affect everyone around me. Let it affect my neighbors and my family members, my coworkers and my classmates, oh God. What you're doing in me, this life-giving power, you are flowing in me. God, let it change me and everyone around me. Thank you, God. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Now, you see, Pastor, what do we do now? Listen, this is a relationship. This is where we got to get this. Because so many times we reduce the Holy Spirit to an experience. And how many know we can have an experience with a person, right? An interaction. But the goal of that experience is to deepen the relationship, all right? So every day, let's ask. Let's ask. Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. Holy Spirit, I want to know you. Are you getting this? And as we grow deeper and deeper in relationship with him, we will see his effects in our lives. In every part of our lives. Nothing to be afraid of, not at all, because God loves you. And God's word is true. Anybody want to testify to that? He loves you, he's true, and he's powerful. And we need his power, amen? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May you walk in the power of His Spirit. May everyone around you know and sense this great power that God has given to you. And may you be the demonstration of God's power where you live, where you work, and where you play. I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Go with God. We love you very much.